Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Lovely to see you this morning. As Pete was saying, it's about a year now, almost exactly to the day since I spoke here before, even though I've been here every week. And God gave me the scripture the last time I spoke, you must be born again. You must be born again. And so today I feel he's highlighted some words of scripture to me, and I've got a few scriptures over the last few weeks which I felt prompted me to share. I'm hopefully going to pull them together okay, because I believe they're very much in line with what the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us about with the Ephesians talks and the words of prophecy that we've had. I believe it's all in line about giving God worship and praise, about surrendering our lives to Him. And, you know, I want to speak about those things just in a slightly different way, probably, this morning, as God showed me these scriptures. I just thought I might say as well as I begin, this is a really key time in the church. If you haven't picked up on that by now, then pick up on it. It's a really key time in the church. God is doing something amazing among us. And it's just wonderful. And so, if you don't take notes, it might be a good time to start. And it might be a good time to start listening as well to the, you know, to the talks on Sunday morning, because God is always speaking to us and giving us something. There just was, after that wonderful worship, thank you, Pip, Penn, and team, I just thought, well, I don't need to speak. That's been said. All of it's been sung and said this morning. And there was one particular song. I just thought it looks a bit just says some wonderful things in this song that I'll probably be bringing to mind as I speak this morning, that you're the God of Abraham, and all these covenant promises that we have of God, it's not just in the annals of history, in ancient history, it's here, now, today, and we owe God, you know, so much praise and honour for that, because great is your faithfulness, Lord, to us. And though the storms come, you remain steadfast. That is so glorious. I put my faith in Jesus, my anchor to the ground, my hope and firm foundation. He will never let me down. We do sing some glorious things. And when we sing them, the spirit and truth. And so my first word really was about praise and thanksgiving. And about proclamation, because I love proclamation. I love speaking out who God is. Many moons ago, Helen and I, a few of you, used to lead worship, and that was the best thing I liked about it, because you got to stand at the front and say things about God and nobody could contradict it. And so it was the most wonderful place today, because, you know, then in the world you were finding it right now. You find all sorts of people wanting to contradict and wanting to misunderstand God, and that is such an awful thing if you misunderstand God, because you're missing so much. Don't let me digress here. So I just want to speak a bit about how central it is to grasp the power of praise and thanksgiving as we come to him each day. That each day is very important. And I felt God was saying, don't always start with your list of requests, the things you want God to do for you, the things you're concerned and worried about, important as they are to him. But lift him up in praise and get a picture of who he is. Because when you do that, when you lift him up in praise, you get a picture of who he is and how mighty and how glorious and powerful, how faithful. And so then, your fears can disappear. We sang it. It's not so long this morning. Which is amazing. I want to read a psalm to start with, because this is the psalm God spoke to me through. And I could have really used many of the psalms, because they all praise God. But I was reading Psalm 48 when God spoke to me about it. So I'm going to read it better. I don't know whether it'll come on the screen, it may do, Psalm 48. But it'll be a different version to mine, because I'm in the New Living Translation, and you can't price me out of it. So it might be a different word, slightly different, but you're saying the same thing. How great is
Psalm 48?
Oh, well, yeah, you can stand for the reading of the word. It's going to be my words, though. So I'm not going to get it stuck around on there. But this is a powerful one. How great is the Lord, and how deserving of praise. In the city of our God, which sits on his holy mountain, it is high and magnificent. The whole earth rejoices to see it. Mount Zion, the holy mountain, is the city of the great king. God himself is in Jerusalem's towers, revealing himself as its defender. The kings of the earth, they joined forces and advanced against the city. But when they saw it, they were stunned. And they were terrified and ran away. And they were gripped with terror and writhed in pain like a woman in labor. You destroyed them, Lord, like the mighty ships of Tarshish and shattered by a powerful east wind. We had heard of the city's glory, but now you've seen it for yourselves. The city of the Lord of heaven's armies is the city of our God, and he will make it safe forever. O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. As your name deserves, O God, you will be praised to the ends of the earth. Your strong right hand is filled with victory. Let the people of Mount Zion rejoice, that all the towns of Judah be glad, because of your justice. Go and inspect the city of Zion. Walk around and count the many towers. Take note of the fortified walls. Tour all the citadels, that you may describe them to future generations. For that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until we die. He will guide us until we die. Amen. And I just thought God was showing in that psalm, he was saying quite clearly that we can see Lord, and all your glory and power. And the enemies, when they saw, the enemies know who God is. If you don't, the enemies do. And they were terrified, and they ran away. How glorious is that? And they were destroyed. And they can't stand it when we worship God, when we proclaim the truth. They can't stand it. Wherever the enemies are in your life, they'll have to flee. And you'll be victorious. So it's so vital that we do that every day. I felt God is emphasizing. His forever care and mercy, his love and grace over us, as it says. For he is our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until we end. How amazing is that? What a promise. So, this is what I felt God said. I saw this hand. Stop. Stop going around the wooden hell. If you don't know that phrase, it it simply means going over the same ground with the same troubles and worries and things that beset you. Stop it, I thought to myself. They're very real, God knows that. But what he wants you to do is to lift him up above all that and worship his name. And the enemies will have to flee. And you'll get a different picture of who God is. You'll start to get more confidence in it. You'll start to know this God is your God who's going to answer your prayers. So stop. Stop, people. Empower all the troubles and the fears. Instead, speak first of the wonderful works of God over your life. He is mighty and powerful to save, guiding us until we die. And it was quite a challenge. I felt like God gave me a challenge. Do it. Do it. Give it to me. See how it changes things each day. I mean, I thought I was pretty good at doing that. But when God gives you a challenge, there's always more on it. There's always more on it. You know, there's always a deeper place with God. And there's always more on it. So I've been doing that. And the each day thing is really important. You know, I think we do need God each day. We need to remind ourselves each day. And if you can start with him in the morning, that would be good. Even if you've only got a small amount of time, if it's a time you want to spend with God, he'll come to you. And you'll start to see things change. Because he's powerful. He's powerful in faith. Okay. Matthew 16. We won't stand again. It's good to stand for this one, actually. Matthew 16. I'm going to read. I'm going to highlight one verse, but I'm going to read from verses 13. And this is a very big question that Jesus is asking. Who do you say I am? So I'm starting to read at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Because Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And that's glorious, isn't it? So I felt like Jesus really was saying to us, who do you say I am? And Tozer was a great Christian writer. And he said, what comes into our minds when we think about God? Is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind when you think about God? The most important thing about you. And our response to that will be life-changing. If we follow through and respond in faith and obedience each day in every situation, and it's an ongoing challenge. That's how I find it, an ongoing challenge. When Jesus said to me, who do you say? And I was able to pop up like with Peter, like many of us can. Jesus is Lord, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I'm sure that most of us are thinking, that's my reply. Well, consider well, because it changes everything when Jesus is Lord, Son of the living God, in our lives. Look again at this call that we've been hearing over the weeks. It's called to holiness, to get rid of the rubbish, the distractions, and we've sung it even this morning, surrender everything to him. That's the cause of the Lord, as we say, Jesus is Lord. He loves us, he loves you, and he wants to guide your life forever. So if God puts his finger on something that contradicts his word in your life, get it sorted. get it sorted. Because you'll never outgive God, you'll never outgive Him. There's nothing you can do or give up or whatever that will ever outgive God. You just make more room for Him. That's what you're doing, you make more room. So let's move into the Lord. He wants us. He wants for you. He wants for this church in these days. He's asking us to do that. And the next scripture I'm going to read is what I wasn't expecting, because it's kind of a bit of a switch, not a go-to scripture, even though we know it well. It's not one that you go to particularly for encouragement. But I felt like God was, He gave me the account in Luke's Gospel of Jesus and a demon-possessed man. It's in Luke 8, if you want to. It's in Luke 8, and I'm going to start reading from 26. They've just come from having the storm on the lake, and everybody being terrified, and Jesus having to say to them, you know, where is your faith? And so they come out and they step right into this situation. They arrived in the region of the Gerasenes, across the lake from Galilee. And as Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time he had been homeless and naked, living in a cemetery outside the town. And as soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell down in front of him. And then he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Please, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. And this spirit had often taken control of the man. And even when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles, he simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness, completely under the demon's power. And Jesus replied, Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, for he was filled with many demons. And the demons kept begging Jesus not to send them into the bottomless pit. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons begged him to let them enter into the pigs. So Jesus gave them permission. And then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the entire herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned. And when the herdsmen saw it, they fled to the nearby town and the surrounding countryside, spreading the news as they ran. And people rushed out to see what had happened. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been freed from the demons, and he was sitting at Jesus' feet, fully clothed in his right mind. And that was the verse that God highlighted to me. Fully clothed and in his right mind. And the thing was, Jesus had the power and authority and compassion to go where no others would go. Mm-hmm. And he took command of that situation for that tormented soul. And he wants to do that for us. He wants to command the situations in our lives that we think are so difficult. He wants to take command of them. And I felt the Holy Spirit show me that that's you in Jesus' name. If you're born again today, if you're a Christian, you are clothed in your right mind. That is the possibility. That is what is open before you. In the power of Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be clothed and in your right mind. Jesus came to me, he came to all of us and loved us unconditionally. And I felt it was my place, it's our place as his church to be the same with him. Unconditional surrender and in each day to Jesus who is Lord. Lord of my life, Lord of the church. Thank you, Lord. said, if you feel you need to be clothed in your right mind, press into Jesus. And lastly, I just wanted to share this really. It's something from one of the testimonies at the baptism service 2 or 3 weeks ago, which was a wonderful, powerful time to hear those testimonies of Sarah and Lucy and Joel and Joshua. And David is taught that morning and said, that God is personal, and he comes and he bestows, that lovely word, bestows his love on us. And Rachel's son, Joel, in his testimony, shared how God had spoken to him in a time when he was struggling, when he was feeling unsure. And he was speaking of love and identity, and how this verse from 2 Timothy 1:7 really helped him. And verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and there it goes again, a sound mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. And the verse before that says, so fan into flames a spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. When you came to believe in Jesus, you know, he gave us so much. And we need to fan that into flame. We need to remember what the scripture says. Timothy was just a young man in Paul's ministry, and he prayed for him. And he was able to say, you know, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear and humility, but of power and love and a sound mind. And this word, this very word that was given to him, was personal to Joshua at that time. That's why he shared it with us, I guess, to carry us forward. And so too for us. You know, God gives us a word, can give us a word if we spend time with him, that's personal to us, and can carry us forward in our lives. If we grasp it and run with it, don't leave it sat on the page, not doing good there. Grasp it into your very soul and run with it. And in reminding me of the song, I've asked it, Kay, if we can sing it at the end. This is the air I breathe, and this is my daily bread, your very word spoken to me. Yeah. What is God's very word spoken to you to carry you forward into this time of us doing so much in the church? And if you think, daily bread, you know, when God gave manna in the desert, it was just for the one day, and they had to collect it every day. So somewhere every day is important to go to this manna, this bread, this daily bread of wine. And I felt now we could, that's all I want to say, I think. And I felt now we could, because we lead us in the song, this is the air I believe. And I felt it could be a time when we just receive some of those things fresh, if we need to. And to just respond to God in all these things. You know, Jesus is saying to us, you know, who is Lord? Who do you say I am? And he's asking us to spend time with him daily. And he's saying we can be of sound mind as we are in him. And so today, just, you know, I'm going to sing the song and stand and respond. And if you need to have prayer, if you'd like to come out for prayer, that'd be fine. Someone will pray with you. Or you can simply just get someone nearby to pray for you. But don't miss out on this time. If you need to respond to God afresh and somewhere this morning, and if you don't know, if you don't know who Jesus is, if you can't say that he is your Messiah, the Son of the Living God. You can't say that today. Well, if you want to, you can. They already issued the invitation for us to step into what Jesus has for us, but his peace and all those things. And you can do that today. Someone can pray for you today, someone who you've come here as a friend, and you can come out and speak to somebody at the front. But don't miss an opportunity today. Amen.